around the horn.
Watch this. Anything is possible going into the final week of the NFL season. Win, and you're the 2 seed. Lose, you could be out. Pressure's on the Bills. Also, expectation on the Cowboys, the most dangerous must-winner of the rest of the schedule, and the chance this could be the last game ever for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, all with this panel. Let's go around the horn.
Has already shaken her head.
Can we say Happy New Year, or is it already too late in the year for you guys? Happy New Year. Let's live
Don't
a little.
Upset, Larry.
Bills at Dolphins for the AFC East, as you know. The drama here is multiverse. Winner gets the division and the 2 seed. The loser gets the 6 or 7. Buffalo hasn't even clinched yet. They could miss the playoffs entirely with a loss. They'll know at game time because that comes down to Pittsburgh Saturday. Steelers beat Baltimore, and the Jags early Sunday if Jacksonville beats the Titans. So if that happens, things could be sweaty for Buffalo Sunday night. Miami could win and then have to play the Bills again next week. Or with a loss, Miami would have to go to KC in round one. Kevin Clark, around the horn to you. Who is in better position to win Sunday night, Buffalo or Miami?
It's the Buffalo Bills. The second most important thing in football is talent. The first most important thing is health. Earlier this season, I thought that the Buffalo Bills were really hurt because Matt Milano, who was a Dolphin stopper, was out for the year. I thought that all of a sudden the Dolphins had an edge in this matchup going forward. Over the last month, Bradley Chubb and Jaleb Phillips, who are on a pass rush on a per snap basis, the most efficient pass rushers on the team are out. Xavien Howard is not playing on Sunday. Jalen Waddle is banged up. Mostert is banged up. At some point, the axis tilts the other way. The Buffalo Bills have the advantage in this matchup.
Mina Kimes, same question to you. Who's in better position to win, Buffalo or Miami?
I agree with Kevin. It's Buffalo for similar reasons. And I think the timing of the injuries really matter. For the Bills to lose key players, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, earlier in the season, they had time to work in their replacements. Their young linebackers have gotten better. You saw that on display versus Dallas. By the way, all the disguise in the back end on the secondary was because they had an opportunity to play together. Whereas in Miami, very complicated Vic Fangio defense. You lose players, that's how you get coverage busts like we saw versus Baltimore. Now, typically against the Bills, job number one is stopping Stephon Diggs, and the Dolphins still have Jalen Ramsey. That's great. He can shut down Diggs. The problem for Miami is this version of the Buffalo offense can also attack you a bunch of other ways with their tight ends. Throwing to James Cook, the Dolphins allow the second most yards per play on passes to running backs in the NFL.
Wow.
I just think they have too much firepower and they're playing too well, or the offense has an opportunity to play really well against a defense that's up against it.
Mm-hmm. That's two now for Buffalo. On the road in Miami, and once again, Bills have not clinched a playoff spot. It could be sweaty for them Sunday night, Emily Kaplan. Who's in better position to win?
Allow me to be redundant. I'm bullish on the Bills for a couple of reasons. Josh Allen typically plays very well against them. Tua, unfortunately, has not good numbers against the Bills in 6 career games, just 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Mm. You know, we keep talking about Mike McDaniel being the most emotionally in-tune coach in the league, but the fact that he left Bradley Chubb in that game that was meaningless minutes last week to lose him for the season, even he admitted that was not a good decision. And I know they finally beat a team with a playoff record that's going to the playoffs, but still, they've lost 4 of those games this season by an average of 20 points. I just don't feel great about the Dolphins in this one.
Ah, so you were redundant, and you said the same thing that everyone else said. And you've got Buffalo. Now to David Dennis Jr. Is this a sweep for the Bills?
I'm going to be redundant and repeat what everybody else is saying and be redundant and repeating what everybody else is saying. You know, we can talk about the injuries with Miami, which is a huge deal, but even without the injuries, it's the way that they have not shown up against these great teams throughout this season. They've had 5 of those chances. Cowboys, Eagles, Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, 1-4 in those games, being outscored by 84 total points in those games. Duds all across the board. And then, of course, there's the Josh Allen of this all. 9-2 against this Miami squad, 36 touchdowns. I just don't see it for Miami against this Bills team who is cruising like
I recognize
right
everybody loves Bills. The peripherals are off the chart, even though they're not yet in the playoffs. I was prepared to have a conversation. Wow, could the Bills miss it? No one thinks that's possible for Miami, Kevin Clark, real quick then. I mean, they're in a position here where now they could have been the 1 seed 2 weeks ago, And now everyone thinks they're going to KC? That's where Miami is? They're near Dunzo in your mind?
Life changes very quickly in the NFL. I mean, health is a huge determining factor. They'll have enough to be able to go on the road and win a playoff game with Tua, with Tyreek Hill. I still trust that offense. Mike McDaniel is one of the best offensive minds of the last decade.
But this week, it's
football,
a no-go.
Right
okay.
now, the Bills have the advantage.
You said health is more important than talent. Health is the number one thing in the NFL. How about just good, looking good? How about that? Looking good. It's better to look good than to feel
Vibes.
Good. We'll move on. NFC East, Dallas is at Washington. Philly is at New York. Both go off simultaneously, late afternoon slot Sunday. So they'll find out together. Dallas has the tiebreaker. Philly's been all out of sorts. Can they get right? Mina, around the horn to you. Is this open and shut for the Cowboys? And the question for Philly, should they play this with the idea of getting healthy or getting right?
Yeah, those two things are obviously related. I do think Dallas handles business with ease. This Washington defense is arguably the worst in the NFL. Worst pass defense by a lot of metrics. So all those concerns about Dallas running the ball don't really matter in this game. For Philadelphia, of course, the timing of it all does make it tricky because I tend to believe it's better to rest your starters. Momentum doesn't matter so much as avoiding what Emily just described with Bradley Chubb being in meaningless minutes in for Miami there. However, for Philadelphia, you do have to obviously keep an eye on what's going on. The seeding matters so much because you do want to avoid San Francisco. And if that opportunity is even on the table, you have to play for it until at the last minute. You don't.
All right. So you're Nick Sirianni. You got one eye on the field and one eye on a TV screen somewhere, or at least your phone, seeing what the Cowboys are doing. David Dennis Jr., how about you?
Let's not forget, last season, the Cowboys put up a dud against the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Last game, lost 26-6. That's not happening on Sunday. The Cowboys are going to blow this
part away.
Especially against the Commanders team that is incentivized to lose. They want better draft picks. They might even rest some of their veterans. They're losing this game. If I'm both these teams, I want to be right in the middle ground here. You want to have a 24-0 or 21-point lead by halftime. Then you can think about starting some people and try to be healthy. But seal up these wins first. That's most important.
KC, how will the NFC East be won?
Yeah, I agree. You keep one eye on the Dallas game. Make sure that you're not playing for something that's unexpected. But however, I'm worried about this Eagles team going into the playoffs severely. You can lose games. That's fine. You can't lose your identity. They used to do the little things really well. They don't do those things over the past month. They had 70 sacks last year. That was historic. They have 41 this year. Derek Barnett, who they let go in the middle of the season, would be their best pass rusher the way he's playing in Houston right now. This is a team without an identity, and that's the bigger problem. They got bullied last week by the Arizona freaking Cardinals. That's a problem. They got nothing in January.
Wow. Emily Kaplan, now to you. The Department of Redundancy Department. Is it also Dallas for you when the Eagles are in trouble?
Let me try to be as redundant as possible. I'd also enjoy resting your starters if you have an identity, but imagine just the bad juju that Philadelphia has right now. They don't know who they are. They switched defensive coordinators in the middle of the season, and it's somehow the defensive unit gets even murkier. They're now questioning the offensive play calls at the end of last game, which was an inexplicable loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And then you have the wide receiver drama, right? We're probably not going to have Devonta Smith. A.J. Brown is maybe in beefing with a coaching staff, but he's saying he's not. They've got to get on the field to figure it out. But if you have no identity now, you're probably not going to have in the playoffs either.
I'll tell you what the identity is now. You guys agree with everything. Maybe somebody can make a stand. Just make the argument for something else in the next topic. AFC South. It's wide open in week 18. Jags got to feel good. They have the tiebreaker and destiny in their control, but Trevor Lawrence is looking like a game time decision versus Tennessee. Texans and Colts wild card is sitting there for them if they don't get the division. Pittsburgh also in the greater wild card conversation. They need help, but they get the benefit of playing backups for Baltimore in what's going to be a very back-up-y week in the NFL this year. As you keep that in mind, as you suss out scenarios, David, last AFC spots, who's in, who's out, who's dangerous?
In terms of the team that's dangerous and who is also in, it's got to be the Texans. Ryan's is putting together, a coach of the year candidate type of year. And C.J. Stroud is terrifying. He's going to have 4,000 yards by the end of the season. He would have had the most ever for a rookie quarterback if he hadn't missed a couple of those games. When I'm looking at Stroud and what he could do in the playoffs, I'm thinking about Kaepernick's debut in the playoffs. I'm thinking about Vic's debut in the playoffs. Shocking teams. That is somebody in a squad that you do not want to face in the playoffs.
Kevin Clark, AFC, who's in, who's out, who's dangerous?
I think Jacksonville loses to Tennessee. Tennessee's an annoying team to play against. Mm. Mike Vrabel said that.
All right, here we go.
He does not want to lose in Week 18. On the other side, with Houston, C.J. Stroud's a franchise-changing quarterback. Franchise-changing quarterbacks don't wait for things to come to them. He is third in the NFL in yards per attempt this year. Not for rookies, for everybody. He slings the ball down the field. He's very good. I think this Houston team accelerated the timeline. They're here earlier than anybody expected. They make the playoffs. They win the division.
Mm-hmm. And then that would mean you have, well, Pittsburgh's got Baltimore. You have the Steelers. You're wearing the terrible towel is draped over you. You're ensconced in the yellow of the Steelers right now. Sounds like you've got Pittsburgh, Casey.
I mean, Pittsburgh gets luck of the draw playing against backups in Baltimore. That's great. That's just how this goes. You get in positions to have the privilege of playing a team like that that doesn't want to play their starters in Week 18. Yes, the way it's all coming together, Pittsburgh.
Emily Kaplan to you in the AFC.
Yeah, congenial Emily Kaplan coming in for more agreement just to troll you and support my brilliant panelists. C.J. Stroud threw like nearly 500 yards in his seventh game. Do we not want to see this guy in the playoffs? They are in and they are dangerous. Plus, they're going to match up very well against this Colts team. Their strengths are their weaknesses. And I like the defensive line of the Texans. I think that they can make some noise when healthy.
And Mina Kimes.
I don't want to be the fourth person to say this, but C.J. Stroud is the best quarterback right now of the teams that you mentioned. And yes, I say that he's playing better than Trevor Lawrence at the moment. Unlike Kevin, I actually do think the Jags win against the Titans, although I do think it'll be ugly. But I'm going to go with Stroud. And I'll also echo something Emily said. I really like this pass rush, the four-man rush, Will Anderson Jr., coming back to the playoffs. They look really strong to me.
One more horn. Let's go around it. NFC, there's the South where Tampa sits right now in good position. Saints and Falcons need Bucks lose to Carolina. And one of Green Bay, Seattle, Mini, or those Southerners is getting in. Green Bay was in this spot last year with handle on Destiny and dropped the ball. This time they get Chicago in the Justin Fields Referendum Bowl. Emily, who's in, who's out, who's dangerous?
Bucks are in by default because what are the Panthers playing for right now with a lame duck coach, mm-hmm, a bad mm-hmm. quarterback? They already lost a drop position. And I think that the Green Bay Packers are out because the Bears are playing for a lot. They're going to be spoilers. The vibes are really good in
Clark,
Chicago.
Clark, be quick. That horde's coming.
Yeah, it's Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield is a top 10 quarterback by every metric. He saved his career. The next stop if he failed here was podcasting. He really thrived. Okay.
That's getting you on mute. You don't even get to pick a wild card team. David Dennis Jr.
Bucks are in, and they will be the only team in the NFC South that starts next season with the same coach they started this season.
Mina Kimes.
Bucks and the Packers. Jordan Love's playing out of his mind right now.
Take a break. You guys got through it just in time. Buy or sell next with the night in the NBA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks, got to pull one up. Jokic for the win. Oh, it's good.
Just awesome. Golden State looked like they had it. We're in control in the fourth quarter. But then Jokic hits that shot. David, what was that?
What we saw was the definition of life comes at you fast. This is the type of game that the Warriors used to do to other teams when they were in their championship run. Now the Nuggets have done the same. 3.5 bad, lazy quarters, and then a 25-4 run to demoralize a team that thought that they had them beat. As for the Warriors, this is the 18-point or better blown lead this season already. They have to fix something,
right? Wow.
And that's with Kerr and him figuring out what to do with these young players going forward.
Kevin Clark.
This is the side quest era of Jokic's career. We're looking at him becoming Steph Curry on Steph Curry's court. That's not something he used to be able to do. It is hard in January to get a highlight reel play that goes on your elevator pitch Instagram reel when you retire. He just did it. This was phenomenal.
Emily Kaplan.
This dude is the biggest freak in the game, and I say that in the most flattering way. He has missed 5 shots in the last 4 games. Just think about that. And there's always so many complaints. He doesn't love the game. He's not really in it. Personally, I think that's a little xenophobia of not appreciating his culture. How much emotion did he show afterwards? That's amazing.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah, right. That's what it was. It's like, oh, he won a championship. He just wants to get back and play with his horses. Look at his face there. Would you? I mean, he's loving every second of it. I agree with you, Emma. And Mina Kimes, what was last night?
It seems to me he's someone who loves the sport and maybe not the other things with it, which is a wonderful thing to have in a superstar. I think what struck me the most watching this finish is how unsurprised I was by 2 things. One, the fact that Jokic is capable of doing this, not surprised, delighted, but not surprised. And then, which the thing that David alluded to, which is a total meltdown on the part of the Warriors. Again, not surprising. This team does that now. It is part of their identity, which is shocking, of course, given that we're only a couple years removed from them winning it all.
Wembanyama onto the Antetokounmpo last night. That was a back and forth throughout. Milwaukee needed 44 and 14 from Giannis just to get the win over San Antonio. But how about Wembanyama's highlight reel? Yes, it was behind the back. There was a self-lob. There was a hammer dunk. There was a block late in the game. Emily, what was the best play from Wembanyama?
Behind the back dunk, and it's not particularly close to me. Just that ball control for someone of his size is incredible. He gets hammered at the end. You know, a couple weeks ago, he met with Connor Bedard of the Blackhawks, 2 phenoms. They remind me so much of each other. Individual teenagers coming in with this insane talent we've never seen. Unfortunately, their teams are much worse than expected, so all we can expect these next few years is just these wow, eye-popping moments. Reason enough to tune in.
Mina Kimes.
Yeah, 2 aliens just battling until the end. Incredible. I'm going to go with the other alien, Giannis, scoring more points in clutch time than the entire Spurs team, the second most of his career. Just an outstanding performance from him, but of course, almost as outstanding from Wemby.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, if you show this video to, like, in a time machine, the people in the 80s, you would think that, like, people from outer space were playing a different sport. This does not even look like the basketball we grew up with. We could talk about the block and the dunks. There's one play where Wemby's running on a back screen and makes Giannis fall because he's just that quick. This was unbelievable basketball. And by the way, the third best player on the court can launch 3-pointers from 40 feet away. This was, like, an entirely different thing, and this is what the future of basketball looks like.
And Kevin Clark.
The time travelers would also be confused by the rest of Wemby's teammates because they're not very good. But Wemby by himself, the behind-the-back thing with a Lopez brother down there, I mean, like, if he's able to do this constantly and consistently, like, it's kind of over in a couple years because how do you stop that? That's unbelievable athleticism, unbelievable ball control in NBA traffic. That was just something that I think suggests obviously big things coming for, but sooner than we think, maybe.
I'm still trying to get my head around Wembanyama and Connor Bedard, the same people.
A little different size.
Thanks for stopping by today, Emily Kaplan, David Dennis Jr.
I agree.
Boy.
Mina Kimes.
Oh, it's
Kevin
on.
Clark.
It's on.
A rivalry in Showdown.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Mina Kimes, Kevin Clark, good luck in showdown. Jets at Patriots Sunday. It's a game that only matters for draft spots. But there's also the not-so-secret secret that this could be Bill Belichick's last Patriots game ever. As these things go, gradually then suddenly. Mina, what percentage chance is Sunday versus the Jets Belichick's last game for New England?
I'm going with 75%. I think ideally you would keep Bill as the coach, get him to cede roster control, which is where he has erred the most. But I don't think that's a possibility. If it is a possibility, great. But it seems to me that Belichick is likely to leave and get wins elsewhere.
Mm. So he would coach somewhere else.
It's 70. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's 76%, Tony Reale. I'm going to go 1% higher than Mina Kimes. Here's the deal. The fact they're still playing hard, the fact they still have good schemes, that's an indictment of the roster that Bill Belichick has built. As the guy who's able to buy the groceries, as they say, he has failed. It's time for him to go somewhere else.
So you both believe he'll be coaching somewhere else and somewhere next season?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a sucker for The Price is Right. Boy, Kevin Clark, we'll move on. NFL Week 18. Could it be Russell Wilson's last game for the Denver Broncos? Could it be Justin Fields' last game for the Chicago Bears? Let's focus on Fields. Same question, Kevin. What is the percentage chance that this is Fields' last game as a Bear?
50%, but I don't know if upgrading is the right term with Caleb Williams in the draft, because geography is destiny for NFL quarterbacks, okay? And the infrastructure is more important than the actual prospect. So even if they try to roll it over with Caleb Williams, I'm not sure that's going to help. This is a Bears problem. The biggest problem I think the Bears have is you already fleeced the most desperate team in football last year with the Panthers. Who's going to pay that huge ransom for the first overall pick this time? I think it's 50-50.
50-50, he says. Oh, boy. That's a push. And Mina Kimes, you know this.
It's a pretty clear 51%, in my opinion.
Say no more.
It's what I would do, frankly, because as much as I think Justin Fields' play has improved, the opportunity to reset your window with a quarterback on a rookie contract is just too appealing.
Mm. Showdown 3, Robin Lopez jersey swap. All right? We've seen this, but have you ever seen it with a mascot before? And have you ever seen it with a mascot? Given the history Robin Lopez has with mascots, this was many, many years ago with the San Antonio Coyote. There have been other mascots, history of violence of mascots with Robin Lopez. So, Mina, is this one exchange of jersey enough for the beef between Lopez and mascot to be squashed?
It shouldn't be, because the only person who dislikes that mascot more than Lopez is me. Every time that coyote appears on screen with its weird eyes, I am so disturbed by its presence. It is my least favorite mascot in professional sports.
Kevin Clark?
Mascot beefs are back. They should be back. They should be the most important thing. They should be in every single game. This getting squashed is bad. We need more rivalries in the NBA.
I agree with you there, but it's not enough to get you the win. And if you're swapping with the mascot, you should get the mascot head. Mina Kimes, be quick. FaceTime.
Maybe he should eat it like Pop-Tart. I don't try to get worked up too much about Pro Bowl snubs, but I'm going to get worked up about one. Antoine Winfield Jr., Buck safety, should be a Pro Bowler. He's been playing out of his mind. I guess nobody watches the NFC South, which I guess is kind of
explaining. Kimes over Clark, the rivalry. We'll see.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.